I want to give everyone a spoiler alert right now. This review is going to contain spoilers. If you have not watched the Joker movie, please stop the audio right now. Make sure that you watch the movie, then make sure that you come back and finish up the audio, because we're going to have a good discussion about the Joker movie. In my opinion, yes, it was the best movie of the year, better than Endgame, better than Spider-Man. Now, my own personal preference is I like action movies where there's a lot of explosions and fighting and fight scenes and things like that. So that's my own personal preference. But I think that this movie is very important to talk about because of the societal implications that we can see are going on. If we don't do something about it, then we're going to build up a powder keg and it's going to be a continued problem. So I think it's good to talk about this as far as the societal piece of it and what we can do about it. And also, obviously, how the society interacts with the police officers. That's why I wanted to discuss this movie. And on that note, thank you everyone for tuning into Captain Hunter's podcast. Welcome. This is our topic for today. We're going to be doing a Joker movie review. Do not worry. Do not fret. I do not plan to do any type of movie reviews going forward, but I think that this movie really was, well, who knows, I may do more movie reviews, but I certainly think that this movie deserves to be talked about for its implications on police, society, culture, and everything like that. So let's just talk about the movie for a little bit, and I want to talk about three main plot points and ingredients. Now, I don't know most of the terminology that goes along with making cinema, so if I mess something up, if I say the wrong term for it, that's because I did not look up any movie lingo, cinematic lingo, or whatever it's called. I'm not a movie reviewer by trade, just a guy who likes movies. I'm just going to talk about a movie that I like. The three plot points I want to talk about are going to be mental illness, the 1%, in society and culture. So let's just give a brief overview of what the movie was. We see our protagonist, or I guess our hero or anti-hero in the movie, Arthur Fleck, who is obviously going to become the Joker, the notorious villain, bad guy to one of the most famous and iconic superheroes of all time, Batman. Now, I am a Batman fan. He is probably my favorite superhero, but I don't want to get into all that, right? I'll try to keep this podcast semi-professional. I don't want to be talking about comic book heroes, but I think that it's important to talk about what the makings of the Joker and why the writers and directors and the producers, Warner Brothers, and all these people who are behind the movie, why they took the path that they did. In the comic books, there is not really a history of Arthur Fleck or of the Joker, which I don't even believe is his real name in the comic books. No one actually knew who he was. But I think that it's really important to really discuss what these writers did and what they did in relationship to what's going on today. And I really think that they took historical canons of the comic books, mixed them with what's happening in today's society, and developed this movie that I think is probably one of the best that I've seen in a long time. Certainly a very good backstory, very good origin story, and just a good movie. And it really tells a story. And that's why I think it's worth talking about just for a special episode for today. Because I think that if we don't do something about the serious problems that we are encountering today, then we are going to be doomed to who knows what. It doesn't have to go this way. And I think that that's the point that the writers and directors were trying to say, is that it doesn't have to go this way. We can see these problems and we can head off these problems. We know and understand that those who do not understand and do not remember history are doomed to repeat it. And we don't have to be doomed to repeat any of this history. We can move on and grow on in a different direction if we only apply what we know and what we have learned throughout history. So our protagonist, Arthur Fleck, that's a special word, right? Protagonist. I do know at least that much from a literature class that I took one time. So our protagonist, Arthur Fleck, is a man who we see through the development of the story has been suffering from mental illness. But as we learn throughout the story, his mental illness was actually the result of being abused by boyfriend of his mother. So his mother had a boyfriend, live-in boyfriend, who was tying or chaining the young Arthur to a radiator, beating him senseless, and he develops brain damage. Now, that brain damage is most likely, according to the story, probably where Arthur develops some of his mental problems, where he laughs uncontrollably and has to carry a card. Remember, he had to give the lady on the bus a card explaining why he was laughing and his mental illness and mental disease. So did he have a combination of some genetic mental disease plus the brain damage? we just don't know. It's up for interpretation and speculation. Let's discuss the first plot point is this mental illness. As a mentally ill person himself, Arthur is dealing with knowing that he's having problems. He tells his therapist at one point, "You need to increase my medication." He understands that he is awkward. He has problems coping on his job. He has problems coping in relationships with other people. He has problems just coping and just in real life. The scene on the bus where he's trying to make the child laugh obviously has some affinity infection for children. He is trying to make the child laugh. The woman on the bus tells him to stop bothering my child. He seems to be this awkward man. He starts to laugh uncontrollably, as he does because of his mental illness problems. The woman becomes upset. He has to then give the woman a card, explaining his mental deficiencies. It's this, the look of repulsion, look of disgust that really is driving Arthur, that he understands to some extent, I believe, that he is dealing with this mental illness, but he just can't help it. He's laughing uncontrollably. At one point in time, when he's talking to his therapist, he asks the therapist to increase his medication, and she lets him know that we can't increase your medication. And in fact, another time when they meet, she has to tell him that the funding has been cut by the city, and so therefore he's more than likely going to be losing access to his medication, and certainly his access to therapeutic sessions or counseling sessions that he's been used to are going to be cut. So this is another plot point, right? The first plot point I want to talk about is how society views mental illness. We want to shun them. We want to put them to the side. We want to ignore them. We want to pretend as if they don't exist. We want to pretend as if they are disgusting people. And I think that much of this is changing because of institutions are doing a better job with discussing mental health, discussing mental illness, and letting them know that mental illness is really nothing to be repulsed by. I can remember when I went through our CIT program, that was crisis intervention team. That was when a company came into the police department. They went around to numerous police departments and taught police officers how to respond to people who are dealing with mental illness. The reason that this is important is because we see and understand that many communities, when the police were called, police officers didn't know how to respond. Officers who did respond went the whole criminalistic route. This person's criminal, this person's dangerous, and therefore they were shooting them. And the truth be told, they were just having some type of mental illness and some type of mental breakdown, instead of responding rationally in a more tactful, sympathetic, de-escalatory type of manner. The police officers were getting there and shooting and killing people who were suffering from some type of mental breakdown. And that, I think, has to stop. And it is stopping. And so, therefore, many communities, many towns were linking up with different mental health organizations and developing plans on how to deal with people who were going through some type of mental crisis. So that's the first point about this. So it's the mental health aspect of it. From the mental health aspect of it, we go to the societal breakdown, problems that society was having. In our movie, we understand that there was a garbage strike that was going on. Now, let's talk about the garbage strike. Can't just move on from that, right? So there's obviously garbage piling up on the street. Trash is piling up in the street with all that comes with that. The smells, probably driving up asthma, which is driving up a lot of different other things, right? We got more than likely more bugs, more rats, also contributing to more asthma complaints. So this garbage piling up in the street is causing a lot of problems that people don't see. There's people out of work. Now people can't buy food, groceries. So all of this kind of stuff is a slow, toxic burn that is being the kindling to this fire that we'll see, this explosion that we'll see during the end of the movie, obviously. So we have the mental illness that's going on. We have a societal unrest concerning the garbage strike and all the other problems with that. And then we have the third plot point, which I think is really worth exploring, is the 1%. The 1% is another problem that is stoking this fire of society's problem. The 1% don't want to pay more taxes so people can get the sanitation workers that they need, right? They are getting rich. They are getting richer and richer. And the common people are maintaining what they have and or getting poorer and poorer. One aspect of the problems that society was having, remember after when Arthur gets jumped by those kids, obviously they don't have any jobs or anything better to do but to pick on clowns in the street. So they take the sign, they beat Arthur down, they leave him bruised and battered. He goes back to his job, and a friend of his, or a supposed friend, and I'm saying that in air quotes, friend of his gives him a gun to protect himself. Fast forward to where we get him back onto the subway. Arthur then sees three stockbrokers picking on a young lady, throwing french fries at her. Arthur chooses not to get involved. However, his nervousness, his angst, causes his uncontrollable laughter to kick in again. The stockbrokers then turn their attention to him, start picking on him, and start beating up on him. Arthur has had enough. He's been beat down once already. He's been abused and used by society for so long now. He then defends himself and kills the stockbrokers. We'll come back to this in a moment, but continuing the theme of the 1%, we then have Thomas Wayne. Now, Thomas Wayne has always been a philanthropist in the comic books. Here, he's more of a Donald Trump-like figure, a 1%er who does not care about the common man. In fact, in one television interview, when they're talking about his possible run for the mayor of the city of Gotham, they ask him, you know, about the unrest that's going on and how we're going to get people back to work. And essentially, Thomas Wayne then calls people who are unable to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps and unable to do any better, he calls them clown. And this becomes an embracement, an embodiment, and something that the people, the common people, take upon themselves. After Arthur Fleck kills the stockbrokers on the subway, they have pictures that he was dressed as a clown. You take Thomas Wayne's attributing those who are the underbelly, or what he considered the underbelly, or the lower echelon of society, he refers to them as clowns, so that now these people, the common people, embrace that. They say, enough of this, right? These stockbrokers who didn't care about us, who were picking on people, who walked over us, walked by us, won't give us anything, who are hoarding all the riches to themselves. And now the one clown fights back, so we're all going to be clowns. We're all going to fight back against this system that we see as nothing but inept and corrupt, that takes our money, takes our livelihoods, won't give us anything. And so we are going to take that effigy, and they're going to embody that amongst themselves. And so they proudly embrace that. So a little bit more about this Thomas Wayne character. Thomas Wayne, who they really went off script as far as the original comic books. The original Thomas Wayne was a very nice person, very philanthropic, gave a lot of money to organizations, gave a lot of money to charities, and really was trying to help the city of Gotham. This particular reiteration of Thomas Wayne has him as that, has that on the outside where people may see him as a rich person. But when he spoke, and then when Arthur Fleck confronts him in the bathroom, we see a completely different side to him. And we see a man who is uncaring, who is unkind, who is just a big burly brute who doesn't care about the common man. So let's back up for a minute and talk about what happens before they, Arthur Fleck and Thomas Wayne, actually meet in the bathroom. Remember, now there's just unrest. People are out of work. There's just general unrest about society. And people are just fed up. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're sick and tired of being on the lowest rung of society and have no room for advancement because the people at the top, the stockbrokers, the 1%ers, are refusing to release the reins. So there's riots in the street. So Arthur is down with the riots in the street. Everyone's dressed like clowns. Arthur is then able to sneak into the theater, I'd imagine, where Thomas Wayne and the rest of the 1% are now watching a movie. And it's such a cinematic change to go from calamity and the chaos on the outside, unrest, to now we're on the inside where it's calm and peaceful and everyone's dressed in tuxedos. All the 1%ers are dressed in tuxedos, uncaring, unmoved, unscathed by what's going on the outside. They have no fear about what's going on the outside, no concerns at all about what's going on the outside. We are here eating our popcorn, eating whatever we want, and enjoying this opulence of life. So just a real disconnect between the 1% and the 99. Just to sum up, we've got the mental illness that we talked about and society's propulsion and revulsion of mental illness. We have the societal breakdown in which the funds are being cut to take care of the mental illness. And now Arthur was concerned about his inability to receive medications. Obviously, his therapeutic and counseling sessions have been cut. Not only his, everyone who's mentally ill will now have their medications cut and now have their therapeutic services cut. Or maybe they did not consider Arthur's to be all that extreme. Maybe the more extreme cases, they will keep them going. But certainly in Arthur's case, without his medication, we will see that his problems will progress to be worse and worse. And that is the problem with today's society. When they cut medications and services for the mentally ill, these mentally ill people have to go somewhere. And this is why there's a homeless problem. This is why there's a criminal justice problem, in which many of the people who are mentally ill end up in jail because they're unable to cope in society. Another place where the mentally ill are often being first introduced to society and not dealt with adequately is in schools. The people who are unable to get their medications, who are unable to cope in everyday life, are meeting with teachers and not able to get the medications that they need. And then, of course, they go in the school-to-prison pipeline, which I plan to do another episode on another time. They're talking about the school-to-prison pipeline. Well, this is part of the school-to-prison pipeline in which people who are mentally ill, mentally disturbed, are having hard times in schools, not getting the attention, the medications, in the therapeutic services that they need, and then they are being introduced to the criminal justice system. From there, they may be placed into prisons and or being released on the street. They're unable to cope. They end up in homeless shelters. They end up in tent cities. And so this is a serious problem. So this is contributing to the societal breakdown. The mental illness, societal breakdown, government's not able to pay people, not able to pay for services, not able to pay for the garbage strikes. Couple this with the mental illness and now you've got a big problem. Then you've got the one percenters who just don't care. No matter what societal problems that are going on the outside, we have our own. We're living behind our gated communities. We're in our opulent houses. We're living life and living large and forget about you people. And then you've got the one percenters, as in the Thomas Wayne type of character, who's then calling them clowns, right? The reason that you're in the place that you are is because you're clowns. Now let's fast forward to the end of the movie, where Arthur Fleck is now sitting on the talk show with Robert De Niro's character, Murray. In this particular scene, Arthur has had enough, right? We've seen how he's had enough. He's been talked about. He thought he was funny. He's not funny. He tried to do something. He's been laughed at. He's been put aside as being mentally ill, laughed at by his friends, except for the one small person who didn't laugh at him, didn't turn his back on him. He's been fired. He's been put down and he's had enough. And so he's talking with Murray and he has every single plan to hurt himself, to kill himself. But he decides now that it's not me that's the problem. It's you. You're the problem and the 1%. Everybody cares about the stockbrokers who were killed. Arthur was so right that if it was him that were killed, it would have not moved the needle, not one bit. Nobody would have cared. But three stockbrokers were killed who were mean to everyone, who were robbing from everyone. No one cared about Arthur. Well, now they care. Now, for the first time in Arthur's life, he had been seen, he had been noticed, and he was glad about it, and he was happy about it. And of course, Murray was a part of that 1%. And so, therefore, the big question of the movie that I think is probably one of the biggest of the movie and really makes the movie and brings the whole things together, when Arthur asks Robert De Niro's character, Murray, I'm going to butcher how I say this because I can't remember the joke. I can't remember the saying and the line precisely, but it was something along the lines of, what do you get when you take a mentally disturbed person and you mix them essentially with society, with a society who's turned his back on him, who's kicked him out, who's ostracized him and put him out? What do you get? And Robert De Niro said, I think he said something like, I don't care. And then the Joker at this point says, you get what you deserve, and then blows his head off. So I think that this is very telling. When people are pushed too far, they have had everything taken away from them, and now there's a serious problem. And not only was it Arthur's problem or the Joker's problem at this point, as he wanted to be called at this point, but it was society's problem. Now society is rioting in the streets. Society has broken down. We have nothing left to lose. These people have taken everything. These people being the 1%, they won't pay us any living wages. They won't adequately fund our mental health programs and probably schools and probably everything else that you can imagine that we need in order to live this nice civilized life. These people are just taking from us. Meanwhile, they're in their castles, enjoying their lavish lifestyles. And we on the outside who are shoveling the crap and who are picking up and who are trying to make it from day to day are unable to make it. This becomes the problem. So my purpose and point in talking about this is because I want to bring out the point that I think that they did a fantastic job. They being the writers and directors, did a fantastic job of showing the societal problems that could happen and that are happening. And so I think that we need to really think about how we think about society and do something about it. And what can we do about it? Right? We have to change the way that we vote or vote people in who are actually going to do something and demand some type of change. Demand some type of change before it's too late and too far, and before some people have gone too far. And this relates to a lot of different things. It relates to our mental health. It relates to our thoughts about gun control. It relates to our thoughts about the 1% capitalism. It relates to how we want to live. And we have to make some serious choices before things get too bad and too far. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I really just kind of want to review it. I just want to talk about those three points: the mental health aspects, the 1%, and the societal breakdown of what we can do in order to head these things off. So let me know if you agree with my assessment of what I saw when I watched this movie. I think it was the best movie that I've seen this year. Like I said, I'm not into cinematic dramas. I'm not into dramas, but I thought it was very good. I really only watched it because it's the Joker, once again, the notorious villain of Batman. I realize it's a fictional movie, but I do think that there were some very good ideas in relating to what is going on in today's times and in today's society. So think about that. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And that's it for now, ladies and gentlemen. So write me back. Let me know if you agree with my assessment or if you disagree. Subscribe to my blog, LMH Police Training and Consulting. I have a blog over there. Subscribe to that. I don't know if I'm going to do any more reviews. We'll see how this goes. But I really, like I said, I really thought it was very good as far as breaking down what's going on in today's society. I do plan to do a special show dedicated to mental health. I'm trying to get a professional expert to come on and just talk about all the problems that are going on with mental health and how it relates to society as well as the police. So we're working on that. But I do think that this is a good intro to the discussion of mental health, and especially in dealing with the police and how those interactions are coming to be more frequent. And the reason that they are more frequent is because the refusal to adequately fund different programs. So just something for us to think about when you go to that ballot box and you check that box or pull that lever or whatever your method is for voting. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, hit me up. This is just a special bonus episode. So hit me up, hunterpolicetraining@gmail.com. hunterpolicetraining@gmail.com. Please support the podcast. Please support the podcast. Venmo, CPTL Hunter. Cash App, CPTL Hunter. Lawrence Hunter /CPTL Hunter. That's through PayPal. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and share. Please subscribe to the episode. No matter what platform you're listening to this episode on, Google Play Music, iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, Breaker, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, no matter what platform, please make sure that you subscribe to it, rate it highly, and then share it. Share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it through email. Do what you got to do to get this information out there. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. I hope you all have a great, great time. We are going to release another episode every Sunday. So that's it for now. Much love and peace.